Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Denzel Washington is standing his ground after a Cannes Film Festival photographer grabbed him on the red carpet. This was a jarring video to watch. So if you've never heard of the Cannes Film Festival, it's when all the Richies go out to the south of France to celebrate some films that are coming out. And I would say even fashion-wise, if the Met Gala is the Super Bowl of celebrity fashion, Cannes Film Festival is kind of like the playoffs before that. Like, it's still kind of a big night to see what's going on the red carpet, but just not quite as big, not as artistic. And there's this video going around of Denzel Washington having a pretty tense exchange with one of the photographers that actually grabbed him on the red carpet. And obviously, you're invading somebody's personal space, you're going to say something. So Denzel's on the red carpet, and you can see one of the members of the paparazzi kind of, I don't want to say lightly, but they kind of give him a little tap on the elbow while he's having a conversation with A$AP Rocky. And Denzel, being like, you don't do that, turns around and basically says, hey, please stop that. And then when he turns around again, the photographer then like actually grabs his elbow, and then he turns around and he's like, no, like, you got to stop this. And of course, like, I think this is just so important because I feel like in recent years, especially with like Chappell Roan speaking out, I feel like the paparazzi have gotten a little bit too comfortable with these celebrities trying to get their attention, where it's like, they don't owe you anything. Like, I understand this is your job to photograph them, but at the same time, like, you just don't invade someone's personal space like that. It's pretty crazy.
I think that they also know that if they get a reaction, that's the bigger shot for them.
Yeah. Right? And what was crazy about that video is that the photographer is almost like laughing in it as if this is a funny thing, but Denzel was like, no, like, you don't get up in my space like that.
And also, celebrities are their own paparazzi now, thanks to social media. So I know, I feel like that's what's making paparazzi a little, have them cross the line more. But can we please talk about, the video of them together on the red carpet, because it was raining in the south of France, and there's Rihanna and there's A$AP Rocky, and she's looking stunning with her baby bump and her bluish teal dress, and he's holding the umbrella Ella, and they're underneath of it, and oh my god, that couple is so in love. If anything ever happens to them, I'm gonna be devastated.
They are quickly becoming one of my favorite celebrity couples, just because I feel like the more that their family grows, the more that they are in love, or the more they're more comfortable showing their relationship. And just that moment of them out on the red carpet, I think, is the perfect testament to just how well they're doing, especially as they're about to welcome a third baby into their lives. Very exciting for them.
One of the things I love about Denzel is he is somehow maintained being known as one of the most unproblematic superstars of our time, but there is like a collection of videos of him getting people together in the most classiest of ways. So to me, this move from Denzel, if you know, was really nothing new.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Okay, there's a clip of the Better Half podcast going around, and it has everything to do with one of the biggest influencers in Gen Z. So if you don't know much about the Kardashian lore, Kylie Kardashian has this best friend who goes by Stassi Baby on the internet, and she kind of replaced Jordan Woods after that Jordan Woods scandal where she kissed, I believe it was Tristan Thompson, who was with Khloe at the time, and she kind of got booted out from the family. And so Stassi is now Kylie's new best friend, and she is kind of known for being beautiful, but being beautiful because of a lot of the cosmetic procedures that she's gotten done. And recently on the Better Half podcast, she revealed that there is one surgery that she does regret getting, and it has everything to do with following body trends.
This decision I made when I was super young has now been affecting me, and it's something that I wouldn't say it's like permanent, because you can obviously...
I was gonna say, I feel like when you did it, you probably didn't realize.
I did not realize at all like what I was signing myself up for. And I wish that, you know, little me didn't feel the way I felt, or like...
Just like pressure.
Just the pressure of the world that we live in, and like the trend at the times. And that goes into like, do not like surgically alter your body for a trend at a time, because just know that the trend is like, it's only going to be relevant for a little bit, you know, and anyone else who knows me knows that this has been something that I've been trying to do for a very long time.
The surgery that she's talking about is, of course, the BBL surgery, which is where you move fat into the nether regions of your body to kind of give you that voluptuous butt. And she says that, yeah, basically she followed a trend and she wishes she hadn't done that at such a young age.
Have you guys seen Kris Jenner's new face?
No.
No.
Oh, my God. Seriously? She looks amazing.
She got that Lindsay Lohan treatment?
Yes. I am not kidding you. She is in Paris with Kim, and she walked out, and I thought it was Kim.
Yeah, she does look good.
I don't know what kind of refresh they did on her, but holy moly, that's impressive.
She looked at a face lineup and chose Kim?
Yeah, I think so. Out of all our girls, she chose Kim.
Quick recall, you know who doesn't look good? Taylor's mom on Secret Lives of Mormon Lives.
No, she looks really good. You don't think
Are
she looks
you
good?
Are you out of your mind?
She looks like a different person.
Yes.
But I think she looks different, but I think she looks good different.
She looks ridiculous.
You think she looks ridiculous?
Ridiculous.
Interesting. Okay. A new investigative special is revealing how Wendy Williams ended up in a secure memory care after moving into her assisted living facility. I'll explain more on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All right. So Kristen wanted to find out who on The Burt Show has the biggest brain. How did we do this?
We did it by taking a GED practice test. So which one of us would be able to graduate with our GED? It is graduation season, and I played a little game for you guys called Guess the High School Dropout, which celebrity dropped out of high school. And then a lot of celebrities dropped out of high school to pursue their career, or musicians dropped out and then went on to get their GED, which got me wondering about GEDs. They just had their graduation ceremony for everybody who acquired their GED last week. So we sent out a practice exam for everybody to take to see who on The Burt Show has the biggest brain. And yesterday we went over Abby, Moe's, and my test scores. So, Abby, Bert was not here because he was out because he had a sty in the eye.
That was more
so
than
go
that.
Ahead.
It wasn't the sty.
Oh. But go ahead and tell Bert what you got out of all of the categories, because there's four categories that you had. Mm-hmm. So there's social studies, there was English or literature, then there was science, and then there was math.
So, Bert, I'm actually curious what you think I got on the GED practice test, because I guarantee you, whatever your guess is, it's wrong.
I'm going to say you got 50%.
You think I got 50%?
Yes.
I got a 15%. I got 6 questions out of all 40 correct. I got like 10% on the math. The one I did do well on, I think, was the social studies, but everything else I did very poorly on.
Okay.
15%, 6 out of 40, baby.
That's so low, I can't even make fun of you.
I think they may revoke my high school degree.
Yeah, you might have to go back.
Well, I will say this about this test, and I don't know if you guys covered this yesterday. This GED test was way harder than most of the tests that I took in high school that weren't GED qualifying.
That's how I felt. I even I took this on Sunday when my best friend from college was in town, and we both went to UF. We both went to pretty good public schools, and she just graduated from one of the hardest dental schools in the country. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm like, hey, like, can you help me with this test? And she was like, I don't know how to answer any of this. And I was like, well, we're both screwed.
I felt like these were way harder than like the SATs.
So hard.
Were you guys in slow classes?
No, I was in smart people classes, Tommy.
Was it like shop and woodworking and stuff like that?
I was in AP wood shop.
I think we're a little rusty. It's been a while. It was definitely harder than I thought it was going to be. I ain't going to lie.
That might have been like, my whole school slow elementary.
So Abby got 6 out of 40. Okay. So that was the number to beat. Mo, how did you do on social studies, language, science, and math?
I was a little worried about revealing my score, but turns out it was best to go after Abby.
Yep.
I had a little more confidence. So I got a 7 on the math, a 6 on the science, and I got an 8 out of 10, and I got a 9 out of 10 on the language arts, which I think rounded up to 30 points in total.
Good for you.
Not too bad.
30 out of 40?
I thought I would do better.
Wow. Okay.
It's like a 75.
That's real good.
It's like a C.
It's passing. You got your GED.
I passed. Yeah.
Did Kate Lee take a look at these questions? Because I think he's told us before he got his GED. Are these the same questions you had on your test?
Well, I haven't looked at it, but I did drop out of high school, and I did get my GED, and I passed the first time I took the test.
Tommy, will you show him that link and see and show him a couple of the questions to see if, not if you get them right, but if they're the same ones that he had on his GE test. Because I was stunned.
Do you know how many brain cells I've lost between when I took my GED?
That's how I felt taking it.
It's a very wordy test. Like, yeah. You have to read a lot to answer questions. It was just more time consuming than anything.
You definitely had to be patient taking this test.
Kristen, what'd you get?
All right. So my worst subject was science. I got 7 out of 10. For the math, I got 8 out of 10. For social studies, I got 9 out of 10. And for language, I got 10 out of 10.
What? So
my grand total was 34 out of 40.
Dang, good for you.
Big old brains.
Okay, so I took it yesterday, and I am going to be 100% honest with you guys that I couldn't get through the questions because I just couldn't keep focused.
I had that problem.
It was so hard. Yeah. And I've told you guys now that I've been diagnosed with ADHD, I could literally, and I had such flashbacks to high school and trying to do like word problems and stuff like that, and how I would have to read the first and second line over and over. And I felt the same way doing this.
Yeah, it was tough. And especially like, I mean, I wasn't particularly smart in high school. I was just really good at memorizing things. But like the goal for getting a good grade on the test was, okay, if I get a good grade, then I get an A. And if I get an A, then I can go to the school of my choice. Whereas when I was taking this, I'm like, I don't care if they think I got a small brain. I'm like, I don't care.
Exactly.
I'm here. We in the same room.
So I'm too competitive. I am so freaking competitive. I can't function like that.
The interesting thing here for me was watching, because they give you not only your results, but they tell you how much time it took in each category. So the first one I did was math, and I spent 13 minutes on that. In my ADHD world, that felt like forever, right? And then you could see as I'm going through the test, my times go way down. Like, I just started guessing.
me both.
I really did,
man. Might be the right answer. It's not the first one. It's not the last one. It's one of the middles.
So at the end of the test, I ended up getting 50%. But I can assure you this, that it wasn't because I worked out these questions. It was because I just got lucky on guessing.
You're just luckier than me.
I was trying to do 3 things at once. That's my problem. I always think I can, and then I kept losing focus. And at some point, I think for a few of the questions, I was just like, to see.
If I tried to get through this, first of all, it would have taken me hours. And secondly, I am pretty sure I would have got like 20%.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just still beat Abby, is what you're saying?
When he tries, he still beat me.
I mean, the fact that I guessed all of them and got 50%.
I was definitely guessing on some of them. Like, how did I get such a low score?
That's a good recovery, Abby. That's good.
Kaylee has taken a look at the question.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, from what I can tell, I mean, they seem about the same. I don't know if it's the exact same question, but it was questions that were like this.
I don't even remember getting those in high school.
I don't either.
Me neither.
Really difficult.
You should have dropped out.
I saved that for college, man.
The Burt Show.
My son, you talk about a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So he has been in Rome for the last week. He had a senior trip planned. I mean, we planned this thing a year ago with his classmates. Pope Francis passes away, so he was going to be in Rome when Pope Leo was perhaps going to be elected to be the Pope. He just missed that. But on Sunday, he and his classmates were there for the very first time that the Pope gave his first public mass. So they really wanted to be on St. Peter's Square when the Pope arrived in his quote-unquote Pope-mobile, right?
Oh, my God. You mean the G-Wagon?
I know, right?
The white G-Wagon for the Pope.
So it used to be, like, where they had him, like, behind, like, bulletproof glass and stuff. Not anymore.
He's like, whatever.
He's exposed?
Yeah, dude's just hanging out at the top of a convertible now. It's like you on prom night. So they ended up getting up early, 4 hours early, because they wanted to be first in line on the route that the Pope-mobile was going to take with the Pope in it. So they get there at like 6 a.m. and there's nobody in the square yet. But there they were, all dressed in their ties and shirt, button-down shirts and everything. And they had an American flag with them also, because the new Pope is American, right? So they pull up, and sure enough, when the Pope comes around, he ends up going right in front of Hollis and his classmates, who are losing their mind with their American flag and shouting at the Pope.
USA! 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 USA!
the Pope looks right at him, gives him a little acknowledgement, I think, for the flag. You know, he couldn't do it like, he couldn't like give him a thumbs up or anything. Popes don't do that, right? But definitely saw them.
That's what happens when you bring frat boys to Rome.
Your mic's not on, Kirsten.
It sounded like they were at the Olympics.
I know, right? And here's something cool about it also is that the official photographer for the Vatican snapped a picture of them and put it up on the Vatican website.
What?
Oh, that's fire.
On the Vatican website, right?
That's amazing. Always had
that. Incredible, man. Once in a lifetimer.
Very cool.
All right, so Kristen and I are always having this debate. Does work-life balance even exist? Kristen likes to take, no, absolutely not, right?
I have a prime example for you right here. Okay. So, yes, I'm out in L.A., more specifically Beverly Hills, here with Cassie because the Gracie's Gala is tonight to accept my Gracie. And I was texting with my husband yesterday. And first I let him know Cass did indeed miss the flight. Bless.
Of course she did.
Of course. And he said that. He goes, yay. Because I said landed. Cass did indeed miss the flight. Bless. And he says, yay, of course. And then at 5:30 my time, so it was 8:30 his time, I was like, is he in bed? And he sent me a photo of the monitor with Jimmy asleep in bed. I said, dang it, but good job, Dad. I will FaceTime tomorrow when he gets home from school. And then Bart replied, he wanted to give you kisses goodnight, but we played late with T-Bone, and after eating and bath, he was tired, and it was late, and the phone was downstairs on charger, so I told him he could give you kisses in his dreams.
Okay, so you're feeling like, absolutely not. I mean, because you would like to be there, but you're also very honored to be in Los Angeles right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm listening to the Diary of a CEO podcast, and if you don't listen to it, it's one of the best, I think, as far as podcasting goes. And here they are talking about work-life balance. See if this resonates with you, Kristen.
Is it possible to have the success to be number one, but still have all of my evenings and weeks?
No, you're not. No, no. If it's possible, tell me who she is. And I'll tell you, I'll show you a liar. I don't think so. And honestly, Stephen, like, what are we talking about? Because I think that most people, they don't want everything, right? It's like most people don't are not sitting here being like, I need to be in all the magazines. I want this. I want that. It's like most people want to have security of a well-paying job. They want to, you know, be able to afford their rent or their mortgage and have a nice car and live well and go on a few holidays. And that's like a good life. Should you be able to do that? Absolutely. Should you be able to do that without working evenings and weekends and putting all of the hours in? Yeah, I really think that you should. But if you are leading an extraordinary life, to think that extraordinary effort wouldn't be coupled to that somehow is crazy.
I agree with her. I guess the difference for me, and I might have said this before also, is I do feel like I live an extraordinary life. I hope that doesn't sound like I'm bragging. I do. You know, what we do for a living, I think it's been pretty successful. I also get to travel. I think that's pretty extraordinary also, the places I've been. I think I'm just, for me, it just comes from being settled with it all, knowing that I'm not going to be there for my kids all the time, but I'm also not going to be on the road all the time. You can't have them both at the same time, but I think I have it.
I think there is something to what you're saying as far as you're content with the fact that you can't do it all, which for you, that's fine. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have the balance, because like earlier you spoke to, you don't feel like you can nurture all of the relationships or friendships in your life as well as you have wanted to.
Right.
And a lot of that is because of maybe personal stuff, or you just don't have enough time to do it with all of this. So I think that's more so what people mean when they say that you struggle to have the balance of being able to do all that you wish you could.
I just don't know that you can have it at the same time. Like what you have right now, Kristen, I mean, this is an extraordinary day that you are living out, getting this Gracie.
For sure.
It is the most prestigious award that a woman can win in media. That is an extraordinary day. But you can't be an extraordinary mom today, but you certainly can tomorrow.
Exactly. And that's why, like, this thing balance, it for me, balance means like equal, right? But there is no balance. It's like a give and take on any given day, right? So one day work is going to get more of my efforts, and other days, you know, mm-hmm. family life and mom is going to get more of my efforts. So it's like a scale, right? And is the scale ever like equally balanced? Mm-hmm. No. The scale tips up and the scale tips down depending on the day and depending on the demands. Mm-hmm. So like last weekend, I was living the mom life. We were in Tennessee at the digging zone, and we were playing with excavators and having parties in the hot tub and making s'mores. Like, it was fantastic. So that was a full day of, you know, being a mom and, you know, fulfilling in my personal life. And then now here I am, just like, you know, 2 days later, and I'm in LA accepting this incredible award. So for me, it's just the scale is constantly tipping one way or the other. But as far as like being on like balance, that rarely happens.
If you could live a balanced day, the perfect balanced day, is it even possible, Kristen?
Yes, but it wouldn't be extraordinary. You get what I'm saying? Like, it could still be fulfilling. Just because it's not extraordinary doesn't mean it's not fulfilling or that you can't find contentment. I think that is, you know, every person sees that differently, and it's different for every person. So like for myself, yes, I could get up, I could go to the studio, you know, we could have an incredible interview with, you know, Connor from Love on the Spectrum, and then I could leave and go do my yoga, and then I could go pick my kid up from school or camp, and then we could go home and have lunch together, and then, you know, his dad would get home, and then I could focus on the show and do my show work, and then I can, you know, put him, you know, give him his bath and bedtime. So that would be like, for me, be a balanced day, but I wouldn't consider that an extraordinary day.
I mean, doesn't extraordinary just mean literally out of the ordinary? So I think it just means like whatever is out of your ordinary day-to-day life. And for you, like being in LA is out of your ordinary, and it's an extraordinary day because you're going to get this incredible honor. But also like your normal day might also be somebody else's extraordinary because it's out of their ordinary.
All right. That's a good point. Yeah. Yep. 100%.
The Bird Show.
Question, Mo, is where are you going with your week off vacation? If you weren't here yesterday like I wasn't, Mo was the winner of our celebrity challenge.
I have no idea. I haven't even thought about it yet. Abby said I normally don't even think about when I'm going when I do know I have a vacation, so it's kind of in line with what I normally do.
Normally, the more secretive Mo is about where he's going, like the less he says what he's going to do or where he's going, the cooler the destination is. Like, I feel like last time you had no idea. You went to Dubai.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I like to let my lady surprise me a lot of the time, but honestly, I haven't given it any thought yet.
He's just walking down the hall the other day. I'm like, hey, so where are you going on this vacation? He's like, oh, I think it's the Philippines.
Just so casual. Like, I'm going to Greece once this year, and I haven't shut up about it every day on my Instagram story since I announced I was going.
Listen, man, my lady is the pilot of these vacations. I'm just the co-pilot. I go where she tells me.
Did you let your dad know that Russell won the competition for you?
Nah, I called him yesterday, but apparently he was on a flight on his way to go to Russell to go to work. I think him and Sierra are going to some major event. And across the country today. I don't know what they're doing, but I haven't gotten to speak to them yet.
They're living their life like you live. They don't know where they're going.
A little better,
they
though.
They just get on a plane.
They're a little better.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
Mo, while you're dreaming about going to the Philippines next week for Memorial Day week, the week that we have off, I think we should all take a trip. School's Out for Summer is the number one graduation song for 2025 grads. But Kristen, you said Butterfly Kisses was your graduation song.
It was so weird. So there we were sitting in Memorial Coliseum, graduating from Lafayette High School in all of our blue gowns. We actually had blue, red, and white gowns, but I did blue. And you know, the valedictorian speaks and the class president speaks and blah, blah, blah. And then you have like a song they play as part of the, you know, graduation thing. And Butterfly Kisses came on, and we were all looking at each other like, who chose this crap for our graduation song? This is creepy.
It's absolutely depressing. So yeah, maybe choose something a little different, like we played on the list earlier this morning, School's Out. Also, Hey Look Ma, I Made It from Panic at the Disco. And that one Green Day song, I keep forgetting the name of, Time of Our Lives.
Oh, yeah.
That one as well.
Yeah.
Oh, a classic. All right, on to Wendy Williams, because a new investigative special is revealing just how she ended up in a secure memory care unit. Now, I feel like everyone has been very very perplexed by this whole situation because she has done a couple of recent interviews with TMZ where she has shown that she is very with it mentally, despite the fact that she has been diagnosed with a form of dementia. And people are like, how is this woman who seems very capable in one of the most secure facilities in Manhattan? Well, it's been recently revealed in an investigative special that she actually wasn't in the secure part of this assisted living facility at first. She had been put under a court-ordered guardianship in 2022 and had later been diagnosed with dementia, and a condition that also affects her speech. But now it's being revealed that she had been in a level of the facility. So she was on, I think, like the third floor for just to being for being treated for alcoholism. And they had to move her to a more secure unit after her 60th birthday, where she allegedly went up to a rooftop bar of the assisted living facility, which I was very surprised. I'm like, why is there a rooftop bar at this place? Anyway, she had gone up to the rooftop bar of this facility, had had too many drinks despite being under supervision. And because of whatever happened that night, they had to move her to a more secure place where she could be under supervision more frequently.
I don't know if others have experienced this when it comes to having parents with dementia, but before my dad came here to Atlanta and I took care of him for the last 6 months of his life, he and I were estranged. He didn't talk to me for years and years and years, but I get a call from his wife saying, hey, just want to let you know, I'm leaving your dad. You might want to come out here and say hey to him. So I'm like, I didn't even know he was married, but yeah, I'll come on out. So I spend the better part, or on and off, for 2 or 3 days with my dad when he was in Vegas, right? And just to see what kind of medical condition he was in before I was going to bring him to Atlanta. So I hang out with him for 2 or 3 days and he seemed fine. Yeah. Like, we would talk about things from the past and it was no problem. I never had one indication really that his mind wasn't right. Like, he was hooked up to a COPD machine, so he had like stuff going into his nose and his lungs needed help, that's for sure. But there was no indication in those 3 days that there was anything dementia-wise. Didn't realize it at all until he got out to Atlanta. And then the first conversation I had with him, we were eating at a $3 and we were talking about football. And he was talking about how his favorite team was the Dallas Cowboys. I knew there was something wrong with his head.
I knew that was coming.
But he was a Chargers fan his entire life. So that was the first tip that I had, like, wait a second, this ain't right. And then after that, all the signs were there that he had dementia. But in what you're saying is that there were no signs until there were signs. And I felt the exact same way.
When he said that he was a fan of the Cowboys, did you correct him? Or how do you handle that situation? You're a Chargers fan.
Correct, Abby.
Who's not a Cowboys fan?
Well, it came out of nowhere. And remember, dementia wasn't even on the table. I had no idea that would be part of his life. So when he said Cowboys, I think my first reaction was, no, you're not. You've been a Chargers fan your entire life. And there was no back and forth argument about it, but that was the first sign looking back at it.
Well, the whole situation has obviously been pretty heartbreaking. We've seen those photos of her like outside the window on the phone with TMZ wanting to get out. So it'll be interesting to see how this story develops and if it ends up being that she really does need to be in this very secure facility or if she eventually gets out.
I'm still confused by the whole Wendy's situation, especially with so many people saying that they think she's fine. And I know this is less important than her health, but I never thought I would say this, but I really miss Wendy Williams right now because I think she would cover this Diddy trial better than anybody.
Oh my God.
Better than anybody, man.
Here's the thing. Like, if she has to be on that fifth floor, the more secure part of the unit, can we not get her a podcast mic and a little live stream camera? For the love of God.
Why was she like intimate in that circle?
Yeah, and she knew a lot. And she was one of the few people that were brave enough to really hint at a lot of the things that I think she knew she couldn't fully say about Diddy for years. And if you go back and watch some of the interviews between the two of them, I think there were a lot of times when she was trying to send signals because obviously she couldn't say but so much. But I think Wendy has been waiting for this day for a very long time.
I'm going to ship her off one of those Blue Yeti mics. Be like, girl, we need to get you on the podcast.
Come on.
All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.